Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
I'm Ryan.
This is Henley.
And we're from Nashville. Today starts my last round of chemo, and I won the gold medal for kicking cancer to the curb. And this is how we watch Hoda and Jenna.
Coming up, Jennifer Coolidge, the actress who turns up in your favorite films, has two new projects that'll put a smile on your face. Then it's an Olympic-sized party out in the plaza, and we're inviting you over to play some wild and crazy games with us. And if you've got a sweet tooth, don't miss our masterclass in these delicate desserts right now.
From NBC News, this is a special edition of Today with Hoda Kotb from Tokyo and Jenna Bush Hager from Rockefeller Plaza in New York City.
Awesome! Hey guys, it's Monday, August 2nd. Welcome to our party on the plaza. I am here in Rockefeller Plaza. Chanel's also here. She's hanging with our crowd. I don't see her, but she's here. I can promise you that. And our new mascot, Hino Day, which means sunrise in Japanese. And y'all, Hoda is still in Tokyo as week two of the Olympic Games gets underway. Hi, Hoda. Y'all, the plaza misses you.
Oh, man, I miss the plaza, but can I tell you something? There is so much red, white, and blue here that it is crazy. I mean, it's so much fun. I cannot believe the energy that's coming from you guys in New York. But let me tell you something, Jenna, the athletes are here are feeling it. And we must do something in this moment. We must sing happy birthday to the cutest little two-year-old boy around.
I
can't believe Hal Hager is two.
How is Hal Hager
two? What are you guys going to do?
I think we're just going to have some pizza and some cupcakes. And his sisters were like, so does he have any friends? And I was like, no, he doesn't. He has y'all. And we will be celebrating together and probably watching a little bit of Olympic coverage, because who isn't watching it? It's so much fun to see.
Look at him there, sitting there with look at Hank and the babe. I mean, I'm into it. I'm into your whole family.
Okay, you have to tell me about your weekend in Tokyo. What did you do? I know you had a little sake on Friday night because there were some missed calls, if you know what I mean.
Baby, okay. You know what? Every day's a party here in Tokyo. It's been a lot of fun. I mean, you know, it's funny. Over the weekends, there are a lot of, like, great events. I was at the pool a lot. I got to see some of these incredible swimmers. And it's so strange, like, as you're sitting there, Jenna, and you're watching them tap the wall and their life changes and they set a record and they get another medal. Like, you can't believe that in this life you get to be a witness to greatness. Like, sometimes, look, having a great moment is something that's so unique. Witnessing greatness feels so good, and we've been lucky enough to be able to do that. And I spent a lot of weekends at the pool, and the rest of it I was watching Netflix and chilling.
It was almost hilarious because you were everywhere. You turned on swimming, you were there, your gymnastics. And by the way, there was huge Olympic breaking news overnight. Gymnastics news, starting with Simone Biles.
Look at our posse.
I know, so cute.
We were freaking out, okay, because everybody was wondering, will Simone compete? And I think whatever she decided was going to be a perfect decision. And it just came out today, like hours ago, that she is in. She will be performing on the beam. And, you know, the beam, I guess, is kind of, you know, the twisties are what is really bothering Simone. And I think the beam was probably her best bet. I'm just kind of happy because here we are. We're at the end of the gymnastics portion of the Olympic Games, and Simone Biles, the biggest name in the sport, is competing. And that took courage and guts. I know she's been practicing and wondering, can I do it? Can I do it? Well, here's a newsflash. She can do it, and she will do it. She's going to be terrific, and we're going to have a great time with her. And I think that watching her in the stands these last few days, Jenna, cheering for her, for her fellow teammates, full voice. Like, literally, I'm on the other end of the gym. I'm watching Jade compete. I can hear Simone going, Jade, you got, like, it's crazy. I mean, there's such love among this team, and it's been really cool.
Yeah, and so fun to watch Jade take the gold. I was so happy to see that. Were you cheering like you couldn't believe?
Let me tell you something. My fingernails are down to nubs, and I'll tell you why. Jade, the day before, was on the vault, and she didn't have her best day. So you know how you like, it's like for any of us.
Yes.
You have not a great day, and you wonder, will my next day be better? So Jade's standing there, and it's her turn to go on the floor. She's literally waiting, and they are calculating the scores of the person before her. I don't know how long it was, but it seemed like forever. I was literally, Jenna, pitting through my entire outfit.
Did you blow dry?
Like,
you didn't
Jade
have a blow
go.
Dryer, did you? That's the issue.
This is what I was doing. What we do, you and I do this.
We do this.
This
if we don't
we
have a blow dryer, if we have a blow dryer, we just plug it in and go. But by the way, were your
we
nails
we
nubs
well,
because
that,
you had no chips? Because usually if you distract your mouth with chips, you're okay without the nails.
Cruel. I promise you, I am going on a cleanse. I am going on a crash diet when I get home. I have never in my life eaten like this. Literally, we had some producers here, Malia and Kylie, they were like this. It's enough. We've had enough. Pause. But I can't help it. Like, that's the way I am. But anyway, Jade got on there. She stepped on that floor. She nailed it. It was like you were watching a movie in slow motion. She got the gold medal. It's her first Olympics. She has a gold around her neck. It was her dream came true. And her dad is her coach. Like, it's like the perfect moment. Anyway, take a listen. What did your dad say to you when you looked up at that score and you saw that you were a gold medalist?
He said, you did it. You're an Olympic champ. And then I almost started crying. I think I did cry, actually.
How sweet.
I mean, stop it.
How
stop
sweet
it,
is that?
Jenna, it was amazing.
Okay, and you were already cheering because Michaela, silver.
I need throat lozenges. Let's just begin there. So Michaela was supposed to go home. She had her bag packed, literally halfway zipped up. And they were like, hey, you might want to stay because maybe you'll do the vault. And so she stuck around and she was practicing just in case. And then Simone decided in that moment that she couldn't do it. So Michaela had a conversation with Simone and she said, Simone, I'm doing this for you. And Simone said, no, do it for you. You do it for you. And Michaela said, no, you know what I'm doing? I'm doing this for us. And she got up there. This is her definitely in her last Olympic Games.
Yeah.
She ran down and nailed that vault, grabbed that silver medal, and she was carrying it around. She kept saying, oh my God, it's so heavy, it's so heavy. And I mean, can you imagine? This is like one of those life lessons when you think the doors are all
yes.
closed, your bag is packed, you have your backpack on, you're like going home.
Yes.
That's when the world can change for you, and it did for her.
And how awesome that she stepped up in that moment in such a huge way, because imagine that. You know, you're like downloading your Netflix shows for the plane, and they're like, no, you're going to compete. You're going to compete. Suni Lee, she swept it. She swept it, gold, silver, and now the bronze.
You know, Jenna, you're funny. I mean, I love a lot of things about you. You're just funny. Okay, but she did. She got every single medal that she could get. And she still got one more event. So, I mean, when you think about it, she's going to be on the beam with Simone, so she has another shot at a medal. She's done it all. I mean, she's gotten gold, silver, bronze. I mean, she's 18 years old. She's a kid. And her Olympic dreams came true, and it was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, and quickly, it's a tough morning for our women's national soccer team. This was a nail biter.
I know, I'm bumming. They lost 1-0 to Canada. It was the semis. You know, nothing was happening in the first half. Our goalie got an injury about 30 minutes in. And the backup goalie did a great job, but Canada was able to score off of a penalty kick. And Canada moves on. We have a chance at the bronze, so we're still in it. You can tell there the goalie was really hurting. But we want to say hats off to our team. We're an amazing team, and we have a run at the bronze.
Awesome. Well, okay, also in track and field, which I know you're looking so forward to, there was an amazing moment.
Girl, this is my favorite moment of the entire Olympic Games. Of all everything that has happened, yes, this is the one.
Okay,
this
tell
is
us.
It.
Tell us, tell us.
So Qatar had a high jumper.
Yes.
Who had a great jump. Italy had a high jumper. They both had the exact same score. They both jumped 2.37 meters. So the official called them afterwards and said, come over here, guys, come over here. Here are your options, okay? And he wanted to explain it. This is a magical moment. Take a look.
We can continue with the jump off.
Can we have two gold?
It's possible. It depends if you decide.
History, my friend.
If you both decide on
Olympic champions.
Oh my my gosh.
Those guys decided they were sharing the gold. They are besties.
Ugh.
They celebrated Italy and Qatar. Afterwards, they told reporters, one of the guys said, he's one of my best friends, not only on the track, but outside the track. We work together. This is a dream come true. I mean, come on, Jenna.
How
like,
sweet
you have a moment and you say, let's share it.
History, no, my friend.
That was my favorite so far.
All of those moments are so sweet. Okay, speaking of track stars, we have to get this really quickly.
Yeah.
There's one athlete that you are obsessed with.
Well, we are all obsessed with Gabby Thomas.
Gabby Thomas.
I mean, stop it. She's like the perfect storm of everything. She'll run the 200-meter final tomorrow. She's not only an Olympian. She happens to have gone to Harvard. She studied neurobiology. She's incredible. No, we don't even...
What?
Jenna, we wouldn't even know what to do if she walked in the room. We'd have to walk out. It wouldn't work. Anyway, she's a Harvard. She may be the first Harvard grad to win a gold medal.
Yeah.
Okay.
But by the
so
way, now she's at grad school. Do you not want to know where she's studying right now? University of Texas at grad school.
Texas.
Yes. Oh my
Always
gosh.
Always Texas.
She is just incredible. Okay, we are having a huge party here on the Plaza Hoda. People are missing you, and I know you're having fun in Tokyo. But
yes.
Chanel. A little question for you.
I do. Shall we go over? You love our new mascot? Isn't she just delightful? We have Antonetta here. Good morning.
Hi.
And I know you have a question for our Hoda.
Yes. Hi, Hoda. What's
Hi,
something
darling,
that we don't see behind the scenes in Tokyo that's fascinating?
Well, everything here is fascinating. We've been getting back and forth into venues and trying to get from point A to point B because of the quarantine. And it's so funny because they have so many different layers. Like for us to get, literally, I almost didn't make it on the air today because gymnastics is somewhere over there. And we watched Jade win and we were like, guys, we got to race back. So trying to get from point A to point B to point C in this city, I came back sweating from the event. I slid in and just made the air.
Wow.
So I think part of it is just all the logistics of how they make it happen and the politeness and the kindness of everybody here. Nobody rushes you. They're all beautiful and calm and thanking you for being here in their beautiful country. So I think behind the scenes, it's just a place full of love. And I knew it was gonna be a beautiful place. I didn't expect this feeling that I've been getting since I got here. So it's been a 10 plus.
Yeah, thank you, Hoda.
Oh, Hoda. How sweet is that?
You are so missed, Hoda. We will see you again tomorrow. But your girl, Allie Raisman, is here. She says hi. She's sending love. She's going to talk with us on today's gold medal win, the pressures of competition, and what's next for Team USA Gymnastics.
More when we come back.
Join me, Esther Perel, every Monday in my office on Where Should We Begin? I'm talking to couples and individuals about love and work, about turning conflict into connection. More than ever, our relationships define the quality of our lives. So let's explore the myriad of relational challenges together. See you Monday.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jenna Bush Hager from Today with Hoda and Jenna and the Read with Jenna Book Club. There's nothing I love more than sharing my favorite reads with all of you, except maybe talking to the exceptional authors behind these stories. And that's what I'll be doing on my podcast, Read with Jenna. I'll be introducing you to some of my favorite writers. These conversations will leave you feeling inspired and entertained.
To start listening, just search Read with Jenna wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Plaza Palooza, and all eyes remain on women's gymnastics.
So much fun. So Jade Carey won gold today in floor. Simone Biles will compete tomorrow in beam after her earlier withdrawal from the competition, which has put mental health in the spotlight.
Yeah, and there's perhaps no one can understand the pressure better than Allie Raisman, who won gold with Simone in Rio. We were there to watch it. Hey, Allie, it's so good to see you.
So good to see you guys, too. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Are you okay after that tree fell?
Oh, I'm totally fine. Yeah, it's a fake tree,
yes,
so it wasn't heavy. It's totally fine, yeah.
Okay, so your girl is back in the games.
Yes.
What is it going to be like to watch her compete?
I am so excited. So I've been actually so nervous watching them because I know how much hard work they put into it. I know how nerve-wracking it can be, but I'm so excited. And I'm so proud of Simone for going up there competing beam. And I can't wait to watch her because no matter what, everyone's rooting for her. Everyone's so proud of her. The fact she's even going to step up onto the mat again is just so amazing. She has so much to be proud of.
It's so interesting. We were talking about it last night. Just this whole activity has caused a lot of people to put the spotlight again on mental health, and not just mental health, but just pressure in general. What's your take on that? I mean, is there a line somewhere in between, or does it just depend on the individual when we talk about mental health and pressure?
Well, I feel like, you know, I've thought a lot about this, and I feel like even in 2012, when I competed, things have changed so much. Like, I felt like if I didn't win an individual gold medal, it didn't really feel like we were being invited to do a lot of the media. And I think things are changing now where you start to see the media saying they won the silver medal instead of saying they lost the gold or it was an upset. And so those little things, in my opinion, make a really big difference. And I think just remembering that no matter how incredible an athlete is, they are human. And sometimes how we learn and how we grow is when we make mistakes, and that's all part of it. But mental health is so important. It's such an important conversation. And this is, I think, just the beginning for us. And I think Simone and other athletes have really shed a very important light.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because gymnasts have such grueling routines. You know, y'all are jumping into the air in ways that most of us can't even imagine. So of course you had the support for physical health, but do you feel like y'all had the mental health support when you competed that you needed?
You know, when I was competing, I don't even feel like mental health was really much of a conversation. Yeah, like I didn't even understand that I was feeling any type of anxiety or depression. And I felt like when I was competing, my whole worth was revolved around how I competed at the Olympics. And that's also why I feel so nervous watching the athletes, because I know for some of them, their self-worth is defined by how they perform. And so I don't feel like there was enough resources. I'm not in Tokyo. I don't know what's available to them.
Yeah.
But it's really important, and there needs to be more resources before, during, but also after, because not every athlete is going to do as well as they want. And it may affect them for years to come. And I would love to see more programs in place to help athletes know they're more than just their sport.
I can't wait to look forward when you guys all get back together again. What is that moment going to be like? What are you guys going to do?
I'm screaming, hug.
I don't know.
I'm just so excited. I mean, I can't even wait just to FaceTime them. They've done such a good job. It's so exciting. And I can relate to that feeling when you do a good job and you feel so relieved, just all your hard work has paid off. But I can't wait to just give them all a big hug. I wish I could be there in person with them.
I know. By the way, we all think about your parents watching. Do you now relate to them? Do you watch the same way they do? Like, what's the movements?
Yeah, I was watching and I scared my dog the other day because I was so loud because I don't remember if someone did a good routine or someone made a mistake, but I can't imagine being a parent and watching your child compete. And also, now the parents aren't even able to watch, so it must be so hard for them not to be there in person.
But Hoda has actually adopted your parents' way of watching. I'm sure you watched that.
I saw the video, yes.
Exactly.
Thank you.
All right, up next, you loved her in Legally Blonde and American Pie. Now Jennifer Coolidge is back with a lot more to entertain
there
us.
There she is.
That's right after this.
In Hollywood, Jennifer Coolidge, otherwise known as Stifler's mom in America Pie, had viewers laughing in the 1999 smash summer comedy. A couple years later, she perfected the bend and snap as Elle's manicurist turned friend in the timeless comedy Legally Blonde.
Well, these days, you can find Jennifer in her much talked about role in the HBO miniseries. It's called The White Lotus, which is getting a ton of buzz. And soon, you'll be able to see her in Swan Song about rediscovering one's sparkle. Take a look.
Oh my God. Pat? Is it you?
No.
Yeah, look so athletic.
When you see the movie, you'll understand.
Jennifer, good morning. We're so happy you're with us. Hi.
Hello.
How are you? Okay, so you know what? We all feel like we know you because I feel like in all of these roles, they're so iconic. Do people come up to you on the street all the time and just say like, hey, tell me more, Jennifer? You kind of like, leave me alone.
Well, yes, of course they,
you know, tell me I'm really good and clueless. I have to correct them. That, but yeah, I mean, I do sometimes get people tell me they like me in films that I never was in.
That's how it
but,
goes.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, yeah, it's very nice when people come up and say, you know, I liked your work, or, you know, one girl said she heard that she didn't see the movie, but she said I was great as Schindler's mom instead of Stifler's mom. But, you know, but yeah, I'm very grateful for, you know, I Legally Blonde, you know, as got me on planes that I was told were full, and then somehow I get a seat. So I've gotten a lot of mileage off, off that.
Jennifer, we also read that you once pretended, I'm a twin, you once pretended you were an identical twin to go on dates with two guys on vacation. We don't know if that's true, but have you ever done anything as crazy as that?
Well, that kind of went, maybe, you know, I wish I hadn't told this story because I just, everybody knows it by now, and now I could never do that again.
Never do it again. I love it.
You could pretend you're a triplet. You know what I mean?
All right, so before you leave us this morning, we have a game that we want to play. It's called Keep Your Coolidge or Lose Your Coolidge. Are you ready?
Oh, okay, okay. Sure.
Okay. So here's the first one. Finding out you booked the role of Jody the masseuse on Seinfeld. Ooh, that's a good one. Keep your Coolidge or lose your Coolidge?
Yeah, I lost it.
You did. Well, it's classic.
Yeah. Okay, what about the first time you were asked to bend and snap on the set of Legally Blonde? Did you keep it or did you lose it?
Well, to be honest, neither. I was confused. I didn't understand the dance.
Yeah. Well, now you've taught it to us all. By the way, Legally Blonde 3, is it happening? I mean,
I hear Reese and Mindy Kaling and Mindy's writing partner are creating it. I just haven't seen a script yet, but.
Okay. Well, you better be in it.
I hope so, yeah.
All right, so this new film is so much fun. It's called Swan Song. We saw a little bit about it. Tell us what it's about.
Well, it's about a guy, a retired hairdresser that's living in a very depressing nursing home, and he makes this incredible choice to escape and go and have and sort of relive his past, you know, as he sort of goes on this incredible journey and gets to relive all these moments that were just sort of a dream in the nursing home. But it was just his, you know, visiting his former life. And it's that Udo Kier is such a brilliant actor. And you know, at one point he was voted most beautiful man in the world. I mean, he's just an extraordinary guy.
I will say, I watched a clip of it yesterday. It's such a beautiful story. You're laughing, you're tearing up.
And people are obsessed with White Lotus. Our whole staff is like, you better watch it tonight. So you're in such incredible work, and we are just so happy for you. Can you please come and hang with us? I know you're in your New Orleans house right now, but next time, fly and hang out with us in New York.
Thank you, Jennifer.
I would love that. Okay. Thanks, you guys.
Okay, thanks, Jennifer. Thank you.
Yes. Swan Song in theaters this Friday, August 6th, and on demand, August 13th.
Can't wait. Coming up next, we'll head to Tokyo for a masterclass in creating some of the most beautiful desserts after this. Back now with the sweetest part of our morning, dessert. Everyone loves it, but in Japan, dessert is an art. So in today's Masterclass Monday, we're learning to make wagashi.
Wagashi, it's a sweet treat made from molded dough. And Mai Erie, AKA Miss Wagashi, teaches the art of this dessert on her YouTube channel. It's called Japanese Kitchen by Miss Wagashi. And she's here with us from her home in Tokyo.
Hi,
hello.
Mai. How are you, Mai?
Hello, Jenna. Hello, Chanel.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
I think we have some beautiful wagashi right here in front of us. Will you tell us what it is?
Sure. So the term wagashi is used for all traditional Japanese sweets, ranging from everyday desserts to formal desserts served in special occasions like traditional tea ceremonies. So these gorgeous sweets are in a variety of shapes, and they are often served in tea ceremonies.
So how did you become a wagashi artist? We can't get it open.
So, because the wagashi has a very, the beautiful visual attraction. And I had, since I was young, I had a passion for art and food.
Okay.
So this is something that I can express my creativity in a piece of confectionery. So that's how I became a wagashi artist.
Awesome. Well, we can't even open these bags. First, tell us about the dough and what you're making today.
Sure. So I'm going to make one of the confectioneries here, so which is the chrysanthemum, iconic Japanese flower. And this is the dough. So let's start with coloring the dough. So I will add a little amount of food coloring to the dough, and I will knead it by folding it and until the color is uniform.
It's so good. I just tried it.
I think she's making something slightly different.
A little different. Is there a way to control the color, though, with what you're doing?
Yes, I try to add a little amount first and okay. then adjust the color. So now the color is uniform. And okay. So the pink dough is done. I will put this aside. The dough is made from bean paste, sugar, and glutinous rice flour. So all the ingredients are plant-based.
Beautiful. Is it easy to work with? It's kind of, I'm trying to see what you're doing versus what we're doing, which is trying to eat it.
We're just trying to open the bag.
What shape are you gonna make today?
Let's move on to shaping. So now I'm going to create chrysanthemum, a very popular, iconic wagashi motif. Mm-hmm. So I will take the pink dough and also yellow dough. First, I will flatten the yellow dough, and I'm going to wrap the pink dough in yellow so that I can create depths of color by using two colors.
Oh my gosh, that's so beautiful.
And now I will fold the dough.
Yeah.
And make into a disc. And now, here is the filling. This is the bean paste already rounded into a ball. I'm gonna wrap the filling in the dough. Mm-hmm.
Well, show us some of your others, if you can. Show us just that big, beautiful platter with some of your other dessert, your other creations.
This
they
one?
Really are like art. Yes,
oh, wow.
Ma'am, my, wow.
It is art, isn't it?
Yes, they're all expressing beauty of nature and seasons.
Well, we have these beautiful wagashi flowers right here, and I guess this is the equivalent of some sort of some gelatin.
Yeah, I know. We're like trying to eat this one.
And trying to open it, and we barely can. But Mai, your work is just exquisite.
Really good.
Thank you so much for being here. And if you want to try this at home, go to today.com/food. And you can take Mai's wagashi and mochi online tutorial classes at udemy.com. That's EDEMY.com.
UDE. Thank you so much. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay,
all right.
Let the games begin.
Woo-hoo. Okay, so Jen and I are going to team up with some Plaza fans for a game of human bowling. Is this a thing?
That's a thing.
I guess this is. That's when we continue.
All week long, we're hosting a Plaza Palooza out here, and some of Team USA's biggest fans have come down to Rockefeller Center to celebrate America's quest for gold in Tokyo.
I know they're thinking, what did I just get myself into? So we thought, why not get into the Olympic spirit with a week of competitive games? This is inspired by Japan's long history of wild and wacky game shows.
Okay, so let's check it out.
Okay. Stop up!
When it comes to the creative and outrageous, Japanese game shows are second to none. From candy or not candy, where contestants must guess which objects are actually edible and which are not, to the brain wall, where challengers must maneuver their bodies through moving gaps in a wall, or else. There's traveling up slippery stairs. And swinging through the air. The show Sasuke even inspired a popular U.S. version.
Nice, nice, nice balance. Look at that.
we all know as American Ninja Warrior.
And you got to make sure you come in even. Oh!
So no matter the challenge, golden wacky world of Japanese game shows takes fun to a whole new level.
All right, well, we are starting off Plazapalooza with a showstopper. We are calling human bowling.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what could go wrong here, but welcome on our Plaza players from my team. Can I introduce you to Stephanie from Massachusetts? Woo-hoo!
And on my team, we have Nui from Turlock, California. Woo-hoo! Okay, yes. So here's how we're told this all works. Each of our teammates, as you see here, dressed in these bubble suits, will act as the bowling ball. But here's the catch. They'll be blindfolded.
They'll be blindfolded. We don't know if they're going to roll or walk, but they are going to try to knock down these pins.
Yep.
Because we have to tell them how to verbally them. We cannot touch.
By the way,
Chanel, you may not touch, okay?
I won't touch.
We just verbally tell them there's going to be 45 seconds on the clock, and whoever knocks down the most pins during that time wins. Okay, Stephanie,
right,
are
Nui, you
thinking?
Ready?
Yes. Yes.
So do you
what
lay
do you
down
want me
and
to
roll,
do?
Or should you run?
Okay, are you thinking, what did I get myself into?
Yes.
Should they roll,
yes,
or
yes,
should they run?
Well, and Nui,
they should run.
Roll?
No, they're saying run. They're saying run.
Okay.
Nui,
all
you
right
just celebrated 50th, so how does this compare?
Oh, yeah.
This
you're
is great.
Happy
all right.
Thank
okay
you.
Okay, Nui, Stephanie, it is time
to put on
your blindfolds. Are you ready?
Okay.
You have got 45 seconds on the clock.
Straight.
Blindfolds on, but okay. On your marks. Get set. Go.
Run
to this.
Wait.
Completely new. Never did this.
Oh, wait, you can you take off your brain for
me. My bowling ball must went to the audio equipment.
All right, well, you know what?
We know
how competitive Jenna is.
Yes.
Stephanie, you took this one,
yes,
for the
I had
to
coach.
Stephanie and Team Jenna has knocked down the most pins. That means she is the winner. But Jenna, everyone's a winner on the show. Everybody is a winner on the show. So you guys are both going home with Olympic swag bags. And wait till you see what we have in store for tomorrow's game. Here's the hit.
My heart can't.
It is all about the aim.
Okay. Okay. My heart is like.
And you know what? Swag bags. Come on out, y'all. Let's give them their.
The real gift is being able to rewatch yourselves here together, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. So here we go. Congratulations and happy birthday.
Congratulations.
Up next, the youngest American man to make the Olympic track and field team in more than 50 years. You'll hear his incredible story right after this. Oh my gosh.
If you ever needed to be persuaded that bad things can happen anywhere, then take a journey with us.
From compelling mysteries to in-depth investigations, our Dateline episodes are available as podcasts.
Follow Dateline NBC now to get new episodes every Tuesday. To listen ad-free, subscribe to Dateline Premium on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or datelinepremium.com.
Great storytelling with a twist from the true crime original.
Back now with our athlete to watch, where we spotlight members of Team USA who have defied the odds to punch their tickets to Tokyo. And today we are all meeting a 17-year-old named Arian Knighton.
A little over 3 years ago, he had never even been in a track meet, and now he is going for gold in front of the entire world. Take a look.
8-time Olympic gold medalist Usain Bolt is known as the fastest man alive.
Bolt, 200 triple.
But there's a sprinter from Tampa, Florida, who's right on his heels.
Here comes Arian Knighton, though, the 17-year-old in the middle of the track.
His name is Arian Knighton. In June, he toppled two of Bolt's youth records in the 200-meter dash, and he beat out reigning world champion Noah Lyles in the 200-meter Olympic semifinals.
1988, my goodness!
Surprising, because Arian started running track just 3 years ago at the suggestion of his high school football coach, Joe Sipp.
I seen him in workouts, and I seen how explosive he was and how quick he was and how fast. And I told him, you need to run track. And he was like, oh, coach, I don't know about running track. I never ran track before.
Prior to becoming a sprinting sensation, Arion was all about football. A talented wide receiver, he had offers to play at Division I schools like Alabama, Florida State, and Tennessee. But once he knew how fast he really was, running became his first love.
He has God-gifted talent. I mean, a lot of that stuff is, you know, he's born with, but he really did put in the work and the training and the dedication to get where he's at now.
Now he's made it all the way to Tokyo, and he's breaking records as the youngest American man to make the Olympic track and field team since 1964. And don't worry, even if this 17-year-old doesn't bring home a medal, he's still on track to graduate high school in 2022.
Isn't that amazing?
And he just started running.
He hadn't run until a couple of years ago.
It's just natural talent.
Incredible.
Yeah. Okay,
so do not miss the round one of men's track and field 200-meter race tonight, starting at 8 Eastern on NBC, NBCOlympics.com, or NBC Sports app.
We will be right back after this.
Tomorrow, y'all, it's another party on the plaza with Hoda in Tokyo.
And what's a party without a little breakdancing?
Oh, we're going to breakdance?
I guess we are going to
dance. Can't wait. Plus, what to buy in August.
Be sure to tune into Today Talks at 2 p.m. on our streaming channel Today All Day, or go to today.com to watch or scan the QR code on your screen.
Yeah, and take us wherever you go. We're really everywhere. Download our podcast Today with Hoda and Jenna. We'll see y'all tomorrow.
Hello, parents, homeschoolers, and teachers. Trusty narrator here from the Who Smarted podcast. Our 15-minute episodes are perfect for car rides, bedtime, break time, class time, or anytime. We make learning science and history fun and funny for 7 to 11-year-olds with new episodes every week. Look for Who Smarted on any podcast platform or at whosmarted.com. And teachers get a free subscription to our ad-free version by clicking educators at whosmarted.com.